have a lot of people traveling today, and we have a good number of visitors with us this morning, and we're thankful that you're here. What do you mean when we sing a song like "Our God is an awesome God"? If somebody was to talk to you, let's say from a different country, from a different religion, and they would say, "What is your God like?" What would you say? Brethren, this kind of question, we don't need to, how can I put it this way? We should think about it, but it ought to already be filled with, we should be filled with the answer, anxious to answer, that it ought to be oozing from us. If it's not, then it may well be there are some things we are failing to see. I want to talk this morning about the glory of God. We get the projector going there. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 3, Paul talks about two different categories of people. Everybody on this earth could be divided in these two categories. There are those who see the glory of God, and there are those who don't. And matter of fact, as you look at 2 Corinthians 4, Paul is talking about the work of Satan. Satan doesn't want you to see the great God we serve and be awed by Him and to praise Him and to let that motivate you. Verse 4, it says, "Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." What do you see? What is in your heart? Are you this morning a person who cannot wait to tell us about your God? Or are you just wanting to get through this service and go somewhere else? Are you the person that you come because I got to be here, but there's no joy, there's no purpose? Again, what do you see? Verse 6. "For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Appreciate the efforts to sing. By the way, I like the older version of that song anyway. That's good. I like that. But the whole essence of praise is we are giving God glory for what He's done. What have you seen? Really, the thrust of our lesson is really going to be talking about being able to keep our mind focused upon the wondrous things our God has done for us. It's interesting, as you look at the word glory, it's basically that which is great. I realize football fans have certain things they glory in, a national championship, or maybe a play in a game that led to a national championship. And certainly in sports, I watched last night, I think, on one of my TV channels, the 10 greatest comebacks in NFL history. And sometimes you see some of those plays and the fan of that team, "Oh, I remember that play." Do you know there are some people who will take a picture of a football play and they'll have somebody paint a picture of it and they'll put it on their wall? Okay, I know some of you have those. I'm just kidding. It kind of reminds me of the commercial where the guy was, unfortunately it's a beer commercial, but he went into a place where they was having a dog show, and he says, "Is that a portrait of a dog?" And he couldn't understand, you know, why people wanted to glory in whether it be a dog or whether it be a football play. How about us? What do we glory in? When we talk about God, the Bible says this idea of glory, it says it's always a good opinion concerning one, resulting in praise, honor, and glory. One more time, Christian. Somebody came to you today. Tell me about your God. Could you just not wait to be able to say something? Would you have, boom, 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 "Here, let me tell you about my God. Let me tell you about my God." Now, I'll tell you, we got some grandmothers here, some new grandmothers. If you ask them, "Could you tell me about your grandchild?" How long would it take till you get a few pictures whipped out here? How long would it take for them to tell you things? We must be those kind of people when it talks about our God, are we? Maybe we've been blinded. You go back in the Old Testament and you see the molding of the nation of Israel. How do you mold a nation? How do you get a people that had been in slavery, that had been in Egypt, they had been influenced by idolatry? Also, they would have had the promises of what God was like, and they should have had the message of what God was like transmitted through their families, hopefully, possibly. But how do you mold a people into the people of God, to a nation that would reflect what God is like? Let me tell you how God did it. God did it by letting the people see His glory. Now let's just imagine today, this afternoon, you could see what Israel saw. We had some pretty severe storms hit in the last few months, haven't we? Ever been at night where a severe thunderstorm was coming and you were outside and there was lightning? I mean, boy, oh, sometimes in my runs, I'll go out for a run and a storm pops up. And, oh, I hate it. I hate it when I'm tired and I want to rest and I hear lightning hitting nearby. And I got to run. I got to run as fast as I can to get to my house. My senses are just, you know, raised. The danger level is raised. Let me tell you something about appearing before our God and seeing His glory. Talking about awesome. Imagine this, Exodus 24:16. Now the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days, and on the seventh day He called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. The sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. What Israel saw at Mount Sinai terrified them. They were sinful. God was holy. It terrified them probably because of their physical senses. There are some things I cannot describe to you here. We talk about lightning and light and cloud. But if you had been there, you would have had a dread. And God wanted them to have this dread. God wanted them to see some things. In Exodus 16:7, it says, "In the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, for He hears your complaints against the Lord." Now, it's quite interesting here. Israel was a complaining nation. Ooh, they loved to complain. They fussed, they cried, they were wimps. And God was trying to get through to them, "Look at my power. If I am with you, I hear your complaints, and I'm going to take care of you." Exodus 16:10, "And now it came to pass, as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud." Remember how there was a pillar of cloud, a pillar of fire by night, and a pillar of cloud by day leading Israel through the wilderness? There were other manifestations of the glory of God. Why does God reveal His glory? Number one, to humble us. If we don't see our need of God, we're going to be fools. When you see the power of God, when you understand your frailty, we ought to understand life doesn't go very long and we are frail in that sense, but we really ought to understand that there is an eternal end. We say eternity doesn't end. Well, let me put it this way. There's a place in which we will live for eternity. And God's going to be in that or not in that. We're either going to find, as we talked about last Sunday night, we're going to be in a place of darkness separated from God, or we're going to be with God. We need to see His glory now and understand that God wants to help us. How many manifestations did God make of His glory to Israel in the Promised Land? Could you imagine the Red Sea parting? Walking through on that? Could you imagine seeing armies of the most powerful nation on earth consumed? Could you imagine every day the glory of God in that cloud or in that pillar of fire being seen? You know what it did for Israel? Not a thing. Two people made it into the Promised Land. Certainly Moses was right with God and he made it into heaven. But here was the reason why God says, I'm not going to let these stubborn people in. In Numbers 14 and verse 20, it says, Then the Lord says, I have pardoned according to your word, but truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt in the wilderness and have put me to test now these 10 times and have not heeded my voice, they certainly shall not see the land which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who rejected me see it. I want to tell you, seeing the glory of God is a great thing, but it's got to affect us. The most powerful manifestation of the glory of God that could be seen, we have seen this morning. When we partook of the Lord's Supper. And I'll be showing you how that is a manifestation of the glory of God in a minute, but we've got to be people that are humbled and see our need of God and let God mold us. You see, that's how God works. Let me go back to Mount Sinai. I'll tell you what, buddy, you put me in an electrical storm, I want to go and find some place to hide. You put me in the midst of immediate danger. You know, there is a dread and there is this desire to get out of danger. And God manifested His glory on Mount Sinai for the purpose of scaring the nation of Israel silly. Now, maybe not putting the word silly, but they were ready to obey. Notice how it put this way. Deuteronomy 5:24. And you said, Surely the Lord our God has shown us His glory and His greatness. And we have heard His voice from the midst of the fire. And we have seen this day that God speaks with man, yet He still lives. Now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord God anymore, then we shall die. Notice, He's got their attention, buddy. And now notice the request they make. For who is there of all flesh who has heard the voice of the living God speaking from the midst of the fire as we have and lived? You go near, telling Moses, you go near and hear all the Lord may say and tell us all the Lord God says to you and we will hear and do it. Now notice what God said about this. He says in later on verse 28, says, they are right in all they've spoken. Oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me and always keep all my commandments that it might be well with them and their children forever. Our God loves us. But we cannot have a relationship with God, nor can we have the right kind of mind where God can do anything with us until we fear Him. This is the God of the New Testament as well as the Old. What would God see right now if He looked into your heart and my heart? Do we have a fear of God? I'll tell you one way you can find out somebody's got a fear of God, how they treat others, why they think of others. But I'm getting ahead of the lesson. God appreciated and wanted this reaction in the nation of Israel. And so if Israel could have this, then all would go well. I like as Isaiah 63:14, he says, you know, as the beast goes down into the valley and the Spirit of the Lord causes him to rest, so you shall lead your people to make yourselves a glorious name. Now, glory of God. Now, there's a lot of other manifestations of glory of God. Right now, we've seen The power through lightning and cloud and signs. There's greater manifestations of the glory of God than I've given you. We'll get there in a minute. But now let's go stay in the Old Testament. What do you glory in? Nothing wrong with glorying in grandchildren. We have a day today where people would honor their fathers, and that's a good thing. There are things you may be, you know, glory in, maybe some, your home or your child, well, whatever it is. Nothing wrong to glory in things except to understand the limits of that. The truth is, you and I will be defined by what really motivates us. And folks, can I tell you, saying you're a Christian and attending a service, which is wonderful. We're hoping to strengthen you. You and I can be strengthened in this service. But ultimately, we are going to be defined by what we're passionate about. By the God that we see, hopefully, and see His wisdom, His love, His might. Notice Jeremiah 9:23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, or in these I delight, saith the Lord. Here is the thing that makes life worth living. Do you believe that? You know, sometimes it's beautiful being raised by Christians. It's beautiful being raised through Christians through generations. It's wonderful to be able to have for years attended services. And sometimes I'm afraid we can let these things become common that aren't common at all. Can you imagine? Do you understand the love of God? Do you look out in the world and see the unrighteousness and the hatred and the betrayal? Do you understand what it means to have the living God holding your hand and standing behind you? Our life will show what we glory in. But let's talk about substitutes. Today, this is, if we're in June, what's the next big holiday that we're going to have coming up in this country? July 4th. Got to watch a program yesterday about the building of the Panama Canal and what a great thing it was for this country. What this country was like and how it was founded and the work ethic and the rising power of the United States. I'll admit to you, I hear the Star Spangled Banner. It makes some goosebumps on me. I have a flag that was presented at my father's death. He fought in World War II. Involved in Normandy, involved in the D-Day, and you know, I look at this country, and I'll tell you, yes, there's a measure of glory that I have in my country. But it better be nothing compared to my glorying in God. Notice in history, people kind of leave God out sometimes. It says, has a nation changed its gods, which are not gods, but my people have changed their glory for what does not profit? Be astonished, O heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, saith the Lord. Now let me ask you, does it fear you that you might not be giving God glory? We ought to be terrified to see the possibility in our lives that we're not seeing His glory. Because God talks about this here. And He says basically what they end up doing, they act like crazy people. They end up, verse 13, for my people have committed two evils. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. They're thirsty, and they've made these broken cisterns. No water comes through, and they say, wow, look at us. Don't go down this path. What do men glory in? You know, Gideon, remember when he was told to fight the battle that God reduced them just to a small number because he didn't want Gideon to think he saved himself. Just looking through the Old Testament there, the king of Assyria was arrogant and they boasted in their power. They boasted in their strength. Isaiah talks about Moab. Moab, they had this fortress. Nobody could touch us. And he says within 3 years, Moab's going down. Isaiah 17:4, he talks about Israel and there, the glory of Jacob. Yes, sir, we're the people of God. It's not going to last. Isaiah 25, here the Ethiopians and the Egyptians, they're not going to last. Nations don't last. Aren't we seeing that now a little bit with our country? I don't know what the future may hold, but brethren, in your lifetime, there may not be a United States. We may not, as in our lifetime, we're thinking we're the greatest power in the world, the greatest military, the greatest economy. That may not last. Get it in your mind. I cannot be identified by my nationality, not the essence of who I am. And that's the point. Over and over again, there's going to be failure, there's going to be shame, there's going to be this beauty that seemed like it will never pass away, and it passes away. The things of this life are temporary. But let's make it more personal. Do you know what the power of the glory of God it's seen when we really appreciate it? when our life falls apart. When it seems like our life is failing and we're rejected and people have pulled back from us. The power of the glory of God is seeing that we serve a God who does not forsake us, but He is with us. When everybody else goes their own ways. Notice Psalms 138 and verse 5. Yes, they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord is on high, He regards the lowly. But the proud He knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, You will revive me. You will stretch out Your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and Your right hand will save me. Do you understand that the one thing this world cannot take from us is God's glory? It's there for anybody to see, but people don't want to see it. But you can see it, and you've got to maintain your sight. What a blessing it is. Remember Asaph in Psalm 73? He was one that thought about quitting God. And he finally went to the temple of God, and he saw the end of men. He caught up in the here and now. All the righteous are prospering, and the righteous are not prospering. The wicked are prospering, and oh, there's no point in serving God. And then he finally saw God's glory. And then talks about, you know, what I have. Why did I somehow think that I was being on the short end of the stick? Psalm 73:25, what I have in heaven but You? And he goes on, I love verse 28. It says, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all Your works. What are You here for? I'll tell you, somebody's a radical football fan, and you talk with them a while and you get to know them, you have lunch, what's going to come up? You're going to talk about their football team. What are you filled with? Now you say, well, I'm falling short, preacher. Well, yes, I fall short too. We got to get our eyes open, and we need to be filled with the glory of God. And when we have that, there's going to be an optimism that will never fade. I love this verse, Psalm 60:19. The sun shall no longer be your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give light to you. But the Lord will be to you an everlasting life, and your God your glory. Your sun shall no longer go down, nor shall your moon withdraw itself. For the Lord will be your everlasting life, and the days of your mourning shall be ended. Do you see this verse? I'm a Christian. The world comes, the world goes, people come, people go, jobs come, job goes, things come, things go, my life comes and goes, but my God is my constant sun and moon. He is consistent. You need to see the glory of God. And you need to keep seeing the glory of God. Now, let's talk about Jesus, if we could. I want to move along. Got a lot of material in the outline for you to look at. I want to go now to the life of Christ. We are Christians. What's a Christian? A Christian is somebody who knows Jesus. And a Christian is somebody who lets Jesus live in them. You heard the story once about the father trying to explain to a son, who's a Christian? And he started explaining who a Christian is and how a Christian acts. And then the son learned to the father, Dad, have I ever seen one? You know, uh-oh. Sometimes we can be guilty of that. We tell you what a Christian is, but have you ever seen one? Notice how Jesus is described. What is Jesus like? John 1:14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Let me tell you a greater manifestation of the glory of God. And that is His grace. Do you know what the grace of God is? How could God forgive unforgivable people in the sense of unlovable people, sinful people? Can you imagine a God that is always truthful, but His truth, He's presenting to us the way to be right with Him? When we see Jesus, again, notice Hebrews 1:3, it says, who being the brightness of His glory? What do you see when you read about Jesus? A servant. He was patient. A man of sorrows. A man who was rejected by his own, but he kept reaching out for them. He believed in them, wanted to bring them to God. A one who saved you and I if we're in Christ. You know, Satan tried to tempt Jesus by the things of the world. Notice, and remember when he was taken up on the temple, and then the top of the temple, the high mountain in this case. And he says, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. Now forget it. Kingdoms of the world. Today, you could be ruler of the world. They're not going to last. Do you know Jesus has got a glory that he wants you and I to see that we haven't seen yet? I'll talk about that verse in a minute. Jesus understands what real glory is. And so, when people are either going to see this and they're going to see the glory of God or they're not. People are going to be focused on the things that men see, and they go in this dog race, this rat race, this dog-eat-dog world. And they're going to think you're crazy when you're looking at your God. And the people who sought to kill Jesus were people who really did not see the glory of God. John 7:18. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory. But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and in no unrighteousness is in him. You know, I am very aware, and I do not always live as I ought to, as a preacher of the Word of God. It is very easy for a preacher, a teacher, a song leader, an elder, whatever position God has given you, for you to start, pat yourself on the back. Look at me. It's devastating for the Christian who does that. And you will be my friend if you see that attitude coming in me, and I don't mind if you get the 2x4 and pop me in the head. Because we do not need to be seeking our own glory. Because what happens when we start seeking our own glory, we don't seek the glory of God. John 8:50. It says, I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. Notice the battle. Why did people put Jesus to death? Could you ever imagine living in the days of Jesus and saying, if I'd been there, I'd have believed in him. If I'd been there, I wouldn't have forsook him. If I had been there, buddy, I'd have been right following him. Would you? Let me tell you how you know right now. Are you filled with the glory of God? Is the glory of God sustaining you, motivating you? Are you living for that? Do you see it? Do you rejoice? Does worship come easy? If not, you may be seeking something else. And notice what happened with those who sought something else. John 5:41 says, I do not receive honor from men, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. And he goes on later in verse 44, how can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? Folks, this is a hard lesson, but it's a wonderful lesson if we'll listen to the words of Jesus. You know what happens when you seek the glory of God? You're going to go down paths that this world's going to think you have gone crazy. Some of you Christians in college, you're going to get jobs, and you're going to get job offers that you're going to turn down. You know why? Because you couldn't serve God and do it. You might be put in a position where you couldn't be faithful to the attendance of a local church. You may be put in positions where you're expected to drink socially, or maybe you're expected to do some kind of deals that are dishonest. A Christian will say no. Notice what happened with Jesus. What happened to Jesus when he sought the glory of God? What he ended up doing is he ended up giving his life. As Jesus came to the day before his death, he makes this statement in John 12:23, but Jesus answered and said, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. And what he meant by that, I'm about to die. They didn't understand it. Verse 25, he who loves his life will lose it. He who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Look at verse 27. Here God speaks from heaven. You don't find many cases in the Scriptures where the voice of God comes from heaven. And when that happens, you ought to pay attention to that verse. Verse 27. Now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. For this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven and said, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Jesus is going to the cross. And God says, you're glorifying me. Christian, as we go through the difficult decisions that we must make in this life, let that be the question. Father, I want to glorify you. Real Christians make tough decisions. They don't have one hand in the world and one hand with God. Christians, when I say real Christians, Christians who really see the glory of God. I know we can be weak, and I'm not trying to suggest you if you're weak somehow. You know. I'm just telling you, we got to become more like Jesus. Judas took the piece of bread in John 13 and he left. The plan is now in motion. Jesus knows he's going to die. And notice, the disciples don't get it. They don't know what's going on. Verse 31, so when he had gone out, Jesus says, now the Son of Man is glorified. And God is glorified in him. And then he teaches them about his love. Last few minutes this morning, I want to share with you a couple of things. You know there's a glory that God wants us to see. You know, Jesus was homesick. We cannot imagine what it's like being God and becoming man and being limited. Jesus limited himself. He went from all-powerful, all-knowing, where he limited his powers. He did not know the time of his second coming. What would it have been like for God to become man? As I suggested before in previous illustrations, imagine yourself becoming an earthworm and living as an earthworm, and that's not even a good example. And here, Jesus, as he was approaching the end, he wanted to see the glory of God again that he saw in the beginning. He says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. I love verse 5. It says, and now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Can you imagine what that glory is like? Listen to me. Jesus wants you to see it. I'm going to show you the verse in just a minute. It's in John 17. The glory of God. Now, quickly, just some brief points here. How do I show the glory of God? How is somebody going to look in me and see the glory of God? Well, first off, it's not going to come from my own strength and my own wisdom. You know, that's one of the problems, the reason why we have problems in churches, is people think, we got to show a great building, great education. We got to somehow have, you know, the most educated and well-spoken men to speak. And I'm not against education or being well-spoken, not against building. But in my life, let me tell you where I've seen the glory of God. I've seen the glory of God with good brothers and sisters in Christ who were faithful when they suffered. Jesus, when Paul prayed about the thorn that he wanted removed, he says, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. It's the power of Christ is seen when I suffer and I do right. When I am weak, I am strong. You know, another way we come to show the glory of God is very simple. You may say, you come to this service, why don't you have a professional choir? Modern instruments, certainly a better preacher, better song leader. Why don't we really step up and have a recreational program and other programs to bring people in? Why are you doing such a simple service when everybody around you has gotten with the program and has followed the various trends that come in society? Why do you stay so simple? Great question. 1 Peter 4:11 will tell you. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Do you know when I simply make this proposition, I'm going to stick with only what the Scriptures teach. I'm only going to do with what the Scriptures teach. I'm not going to assume upon the silence of the Scriptures. Guess what you end up with? That which glorifies God. The world says, no, it doesn't. you're small and you're out of step. The numbers are elsewhere. Yeah, they are, but the glory of God rests here. And I don't say that to pat ourselves on the back. I'm simply telling you what God has said. You stay within His Word, you glorify Him. That's why you see a uniform practice in the New Testament where churches had a pattern they followed, where Paul says, I teach it everywhere in every church. I ordain in all the churches this idea of being traditional and non-traditional. I want to glorify God. Another way God glorifies. You know another way God's glorified? My God is just kind of like, you know, and there's other passages talking about God is like a father. And you know what fathers like to do? Emily and I, we used to have a little saying between us, you know, what's my job? And she goes, my job is to take care of me. And dads love to do that. We love to take care. We love to give gifts. We love to provide. Do you want to glorify God? Humble yourselves and ask and pray to Him. Pour your heart out to Him. That glorifies God, and He loves to give. John 14:13, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Are we praying? Are we self-sufficient? Self-sufficient people, God will glorify God. And so, another thing. Again, we won't look at these verses except to note them. Another way you want to glorify God, let me show you what you do when somebody hurts you. And let me tell you something. Let me see what you do when you're over somebody and they're helpless and you're angry. Let's see the words that come out of your mouth and the attitudes you show toward others. You're going to show whether or not the glory of God is in you. Here's one case. Christians being treated wrongly. 1 Peter 2:12. Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. I know in my life, it's the ones who trusted God and didn't strike back that I remember. And by the way, I would just add our unlovable brethren to that too. You know, the Bible says in Romans 15:1, we then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. And it goes on to describe the goal in verse 6, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Watch your tongues, brethren. Now, I want to get to this one. This is one of these verses that you read a lot and you don't pay attention to. And then when finally you start paying attention to it, you go, wow, I've never seen this before. It's been there. Have you ever been somewhere and you just couldn't wait to tell your mate about it? Have you ever seen something and saw something so wonderful, the first thing you want to do is go find somebody that you love and you say, you got to see this. I want to take you to see this. We all do that. Sometimes it's in the movie of men and that's not really all that great. It may be some sight in nature. But did you know that Jesus Christ wants you and I to see something? Look at this, John 17:24. And by the way, he talked about the apostles in the first half of this chapter, starting in verse 20, where he talks about that they all may be one. He's talking about us. Here Jesus is saying, there's something I want you to see. Verse 24, Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. You know what Jesus can't wait for us to see? Heaven. The glory of God. The things that He saw before the world was made. Can you imagine this? Your God says, I can't wait to show you some things I've seen. You know, that ought to change my idea about a lot of things. At Judgment Day, the Bible talks about the power of God and the destructive power of God. and the beautiful power of God, where the saints are going to be glorified, that the second coming is going to bring forth all kinds of things that we're going to see. And I need, if I'm going to begin to see the glory of God, I've got to deal with the sin problem. I need to hate myself. I need to find the call of God, the call to eternal life. But I want to end the lesson with the last verse in the outline. The bottom line lesson as we talk about the glory of God is daily seeing it. I listened. Yeah, I think it was Bart Starr that was on one of the sports program recently. When I jog, I sometimes take podcasts of this program. And Bart Starr, well known in this state, very kind man. And he talked about how he had been coached by Coach Lombardi, and how Lombardi, according to Bart Starr, put God first, family second, others third. And he said he really lived it. And he talked about having been coached by this man, of how that influenced him throughout his life. Now, these are men. Imperfect men. But here's what God wants to do with us this morning and every day. If we're growing as Christians, here's how. 2 Corinthians 3:18, "But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." Christian, is God's glory in your sight and in your life? And all of us will have to admit, oh my, we fall short of the glory of God. Yes, we do. But we as Christians have the ability in our worship, in our study, in the examples that we put to one another, to show who the Lord is. And our goal is to become more like Him. I hope this has been profitable to you this morning. I was talking to somebody earlier this morning. I said, you know, a lesson like this, you get so much stuff in it. You get so much stuff. You don't know if you get the point made. And it's really hard to fully make the point of a subject this great. But I hope in some ways we have been encouraged to see more what God is like and what we ought to be. If you're not a Christian this morning, you know what God wants you? God wants you. And God will take you just as you are if you're willing to turn to Him and be born again. Forgiveness, the love of God, the glory of God. It'll be a great day for any of us where we're at to turn to our Lord. As a Christian, we can turn from our sins and seek His forgiveness. But as we live our life, brethren, let us from this point on, let's make sure we, our glory, our essence, our joy, our purpose is found in our God. If we can assist you in any way, we urge you to come as we stand and sing.